I think another story illustrates this. There's a story of Banzan, a Japanese practitioner who had been practicing for many years and had sort of reached the wall. Seems that this can happen quite a bit. Yeah? And he was kind of stuck, but he gained insight by overhearing a conversation in the marketplace between a butcher and, of all things, very Buddhist, but there you go, a butcher and a customer. And the conversation went something like this. The customer went up to the butcher and said, please, I'd like a piece of meat. I'd like your best piece of meat, please. I want your best piece of meat. Make sure you give me your best piece of meat. I only want your best piece of meat. I want your best piece of meat. And the butcher replied, well, all my pieces of meat are the best. There's not a piece of meat that isn't the best. And with that, Banzan is supposed to have gained insight. If all your present moments are the best, then there isn't anything you want to reject. I mean, it's quite interesting. We seem so stuck in our sort of hoping for things in the future. One could say even that we think what isn't is more real than what is. Because we're spent thinking about the past. But we're not in the past. The past has gone. It's totally gone. And we're often contemplating the future, and the future hasn't happened. All we have is right now, this millisecond of consciousness, if you like. But what we tend to think is, we think our fantasies are more real than that. We think what isn't is more real than what is. And I find that's a sort of little mantra I have, really, to sort of keep reminding myself, you think this, what isn't is more real than what is. This helps me to sort of regain my mindfulness, my awareness. But also I want to look again at, what is it then? What is it that keeps us from experiencing present moment awareness? And it is actually our fear of discomfort. It is our unwillingness to experience discomfort. It's interesting that the first truth in the Buddhist tradition, the Four Noble Truths, the first truth is suffering. But actually, we won't suffer. In a sense, we won't suffer. Yeah. This is the bad news. You know, we don't want to know. And yet, this denial of suffering is suffering. I mean, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we have to seek out sort of ways to suffer. That would be insanity. You don't have to sort of look for it. It's sort of staring us in the face, isn't it? We all experience a discomfort in our life to a greater or lesser degree. But the thing is, I think, is it's staring us in the face. We just have to learn to stare back. We have to sort of acknowledge and allow this in. And this isn't easy. No, this isn't easy. And we can help ourselves by cultivating positive emotion, by the metta bhavana. It's basically whatever works to help us develop positive emotion. I mean, we may have psychological issues that distort our view of ourselves, and we can seek help for them. We may need counselling or psychotherapy. But if that is the service of the spiritual, then that is spiritual. You know, there's no contradiction there at all. We do what we need to do to help us develop positive emotion. And if we can develop positive emotion, this will allow us to be more present. It's as if mindfulness and metta, positive emotion, mindfulness, present moment awareness, it's as if mindfulness and metta are the same thing. One, you could say mindfulness is the kind of cognitive aspect of our experience, if you like, and metta is the affective, the emotional aspect of our experience. Yeah. And to be mindful, you need to be happy. And to be happy, you need to be mindful. They're like the wings of a bird. You need both to fly. And it's quite interesting. If we can penetrate to the heart of our experience, if we can live in the present, if we can fully engage in the now, which I think is what the Buddha is saying is in the seen, just the seen, in the heard, just the heard. If we can know our experience for what it is, know when we're fantasizing about the future, that's what we're doing right now. Know when we are reflecting on the past, know that we're doing it right now. Yeah? If we can do that, even our time perception will change. They say that an enlightened being doesn't experience time the same way as we do. They often use the term the transcending of time. And this is very, I think, easily misunderstood. But what I think it's getting at is that they don't experience the sequentiality and boredom of time that we do. I mean, we all know time, you know, we all know experienced psychological time, yeah? You notice, I'm sure, that when something's happening around you, that's a drag, you know, that you can't, for some reason, you can't engage in the present moment. It's some way not acceptable to you. Yeah, time goes on and on and on and on. Yeah? Two quotes from a very famous 14th century German mystic called Meister Eckhart. And he said, your heart is always fluttering over yesterday and tomorrow. Another thing he said, it's time that keeps the light from reaching us. There is no great obstacle to ultimate reality than time. But as I said before, it's often our fear of discomfort that stops us being present, that stops us being in the now.